So JD Vance, JD Vance in the building. Shout out to JD Vance. You know, I was on Fox News yesterday. For those of y'all that's not familiar, I am a regular contributing member to the Fox News conglomerate now. Let me give myself a round of applause. Ain't no way in the world that a person like me, young Detroit dude, that wear Versace glasses and a Rolex watch in the morning, should be sitting there talking on Fox News, talking my talk. And they say, Anton, we love you. Can't wait to get you on the show again tomorrow. Ain't no way in the world I should be on there being a contributor. But I am. I'm here. Hard work, baby. Hard work. But I told them on Fox News yesterday, I said, listen, it really isn't even going to be a competition. The question is, how bad is J.D. Vance going to lap Tim Walz? How bad is he going to lap? Now, I will preface this by saying that Tim Walz did well until about maybe 49 minutes in, then he started fumbling, but we'll get there. I tried to find the best summary or the best thing that can give us some highlights on what happened during the debate, because we don't want to go through a whole one and a half hour debate. We did that last night. So let me play some of the highlights for you guys, and then we're going to go from there.
Did he lose the 2020 election?
Tim, I'm focused on the future. Did Kamala Harris censor Americans from speaking their mind in the wake of the 2020 COVID situation?
That is a damning non-answer.
It's a damning non-answer for you to not talk about censorship. Obviously, Donald Trump and I think that there were problems in 2020. We've talked about it. I'm happy to talk about it further. But you guys attack us for not believing in democracy. The most sacred right under the United States democracy is the First Amendment. You yourself have said there's no First Amendment right to misinformation. Kamala Harris wants to use the power of government and big tech to silence people from speaking their minds. That is a threat to democracy that will long outlive this present political moment. I would like Democrats and Republicans to both reject censorship. Let's persuade one
another. Look at Tim Walz's face. And you see how they try to cloak it under this guise of, well, threatening and hate speech. Who's the determining party to say whether somebody is feeling threatened or hate speech? The very thing, the very freedoms that we're afforded and the blessings in this country is to be able to agree and disagree and to be able to get off your thoughts. But when we start to see censorship and election interference in a form of trying to prevent us from even being able to elect certain people into the federal government in the first place, or me personally, I've watched and witnessed 2021, 2022 in particular. You couldn't even say certain words on the internet. That's a fact. I've seen so many people get deplatformed. Even today. Listen, when Candace Owens started digging back into the archives and when she first started talking about 9/11, I just started looking. I was like, oop, this ain't going to go well. Then she started digging further and started digging further. And I'm not saying that she's wrong. I'm saying that censorship is real. The reason that we started saying the word the jab in the first place is because we couldn't say the real word. Think about that. In the United States of America, we couldn't even say the real word. And that's why we had to start saying the jab. I seen people getting kicked off the internet. I seen people getting kicked off of Twitter until Elon Musk bought it and he exposed all of the papers and everybody act like it wasn't a thing. I seen people lose their livelihoods. I seen people being told that they couldn't go to work if they said certain things. I see people lose their jobs for not agreeing with the alphabet community. Censorship is real. And Tim Walz is sitting there. When we go back and we look at this debate, I'm about to just play it out for like another 3 or 4 minutes before I stop and react. When we go back and we look at this debate and we see how masterful, because see, watching it in real time, you can't really appreciate it. But going back and watching the replays and the highlights, you're like, wait a minute. This is literally a masterclass. He was bringing out things and communicating things that didn't even have anything to do with the question that was being asked, but it was important to the American people. And it reminded us why we were aggravated with this whole administration in the first place, because we got short memories. And he brought it back. He brought it back. He was hitting him with body shots. You know what body shots do? A lot of people are so enamored with the fact, if you ever watch boxing, if you watch Floyd Mayweather, right? The defense and the fact that he was picking you apart and he could see what you're doing in the counters and the body shots, it'll bring you to your knees. But a lot of people don't understand it because they're looking for the uppercut. They're looking for the overhand right. They want to see whether or not you're going to knock them out in the first 10, 15 minutes. J.D. Vance was Floyd Mayweather out there with Tim Walz, who was no slouch himself. Tim Walz was Canelo when he met Floyd Mayweather, and they thought that he was good until they put him in a ring with a master. That's the honest to God truth. He thought he was good. When he go back and he watch all of the, he going to feel it in the morning. That's what we used to say. Listen, you fought a good fight, but you're going to feel it in the morning. Body going to be aching. You're going to need some Epsom salt. Get him some milk. I'm telling you that he was sautéing this boy up. For the people that sat there and told me, I seen a CBS poll that said that it was even. That tells me how ignorant the people are and that they truly don't understand. They are fair weather fans that's just watching for the highlights and rooting for a team. They do not know what intelligence looked like. That boy with them blue eyes was sautéing that old man up in every way possible. Let me let this play out.
Another. Let's argue about ideas, and then let's come together afterwards.
You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. That's the test. That's the Supreme Court test.
Tim, fire in a crowded theater. You guys wanted to kick people off of Facebook for saying that toddlers shouldn't
Senator,
wear masks.
Senator, the governor does
that's
have
not
the floor.
Fire in a crowded...
every little talking point. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. He said, man, what? Man, do you know what the censorship is? Man, all right, I'm a fan. I didn't know who JD was until he got picked by Trump, which in my opinion also shows great leadership to be able to select the right vice president at that time.
Theater, that is criticizing the policies of the government, which is the right of every American.
Senator, the governor does have the floor for 1 minute to
Please.
Respond to you.
Yeah, well, I don't run Facebook. What I do know is I see a candidate out there who refused, and now again, and this I'm pretty shocked by this, he lost the election. This is not a debate.
If you become vice president, why should Americans trust that you will give Donald Trump the advice he needs to hear and not just the advice he wants to hear?
Well, first of all, Margaret, because I've always been open, and sometimes, of course, I've disagreed with the president, but I've also been extremely open about the fact that I was wrong about Donald Trump. I was wrong, first of all, because I believed some of the media stories that turned out to be dishonest fabrications of his record. But most importantly, Donald Trump delivered for the American people. Rising wages, rising take-home pay, an economy that worked for normal Americans, a secure southern border, a lot of things, frankly, that I didn't think he'd be able to deliver on. And yeah.
Now, let me stop this right now, right? Because I'm going to go to the actual full debate and I'm going to scrub through it and show you where this came from, because highlights don't tell the full story. And I wish y'all would have tuned into the after hours conversation where we broke it down and we did a recap last night while we also live streamed the debate. The reason why this is important is because Tim Walz, prior to this, they asked him to take accountability for some of the things that he said that he did, including traveling over in China during a certain time period when he didn't. And instead of Tim Walz taking accountability and saying, listen, man, I didn't do that. I was wrong. I was off. And then they went to J.D. Vance and then they had a conversation with him about whether or not he was right or some of the things that he said about Donald Trump in the past, in the 2016, during that particular election cycle. J.D. Vance said, listen, I was wrong. I didn't think that he would be able to get it done. I didn't think that he would be the right candidate for the job. And he proved me wrong. And he did this and he did that. And he did this and he did that. I was wrong. And he was able to get that off because he just took accountability and then he added the context as to why he thought what he thought. But let me show you what Tim Walz's perspective was, right? Let me see if I can scrub through it. I'm going to try to find it really quickly for you guys. This, Jesus, let me See if I can find it specifically. As I remember, it was the moderator in the pink that asked the question. Is this it?
Prices higher.
No, it's not handing out. We have, first, let me say.
Nope, that's not it. Is this it?
Fertility treatments. I want us to make it easier for moms to afford to have babies. I want it to make it easier for young families to afford.
Give me a second. I got to scrub through it.
Misspoke on this. So
yep, this is it. This is it right here.
I will say more than anything.
All right. Let me get the beginning of it. Y'all got to get the full context of this part. And then we're going to go back to the basic highlights.
Gentlemen, on many topics, but right now I want to talk about personal qualifications. The vice president is often the last voice the president hears before making consequential decisions. We want to ask you about your leadership qualities. Governor Walz, you said you were in Hong Kong during the deadly Tiananmen Square protests in the spring of 1989. But Minnesota Public Radio and other media outlets are reporting that you actually didn't travel to Asia until August of that year. Can you explain that discrepancy?
Yeah, well, and to the folks out there who didn't get at the top of this, look, I grew up in small rural Nebraska.
So instead of doing what J.D. Vance did, well, he didn't have the luxury of seeing how J.D. Vance answered prior to him answering. Instead of doing what J.D. Vance said, it said, you know what? I was off on this and I got proved wrong. And I'm glad that I got proved wrong because it was actually beneficial. Instead of just taking accountability, he did the Kamala Harris speech. Well, you know what? I grew up in a rural town in Pennsylvania or wherever the hell that he said. I grew up in this rural town. And, you know, everybody likes to cut their lawn. Let me let you hear the full speech.
Town of 400. Town that you rode your bike with your buddies till the streetlights come on. And I'm proud of that service. I joined the National Guard at 17. Worked on family farms, and then I used the GI Bill to become a teacher, passionate about it, a young teacher. My first year out, I got the opportunity in the summer of 89 to travel to China, 35 years ago, be able to do that. I came back home and then started a program to take young people there. We would take basketball teams, we would take baseball teams, we would take dancers, and we would go back and forth to China. The issue for that was to try and learn. Now, look, my community knows who I am. They saw where I was at. I will be the first to tell you, I have poured my heart into my community. I've tried to do the best I can, but I've not been perfect. And I'm a knucklehead at times. But
before we get to the rest of this answer, let me just say he was doing well. He had a puncher's chance and he was playing good defense. J.D. Vance's whole debate was all offense, no defense, all gas, no brakes. Warriors with KD, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry. Just putting up 140, 150 points a game. Breaking records, running off, dancing, doing a shimmy as he was going down the court, letting it go, turning around, not even looking to see if it's going in, just operating with the utmost confidence. J.D. Vance was cooking. And I will give Tim Walz credit. Up until this point right here, he was doing well. This is where it all just started to fall apart for him.
But it's always been about that. Those same people elected me to Congress for 12 years. And in Congress, I was one of the most bipartisan people, working on things like farm bills that we got done, working on veterans benefits. And then the people of Minnesota were able to elect me to
governor. And they let him finish his answer.
So look, my commitment has been from the beginning to make sure that I'm there for the people, to make sure that I get this right. I will say more than anything, many times I will talk a lot. I will get caught up in the rhetoric. But being there,
look at
the
JD.
Impact it made, the difference it made in my life, I learned a lot about China. I hear the critiques of this. I would make the case that Donald Trump should have come on one of those trips with us. I guarantee you he wouldn't be praising Xi Jinping.
Nah, dog, this ain't got nothing to do with Donald Trump. Did you lie or didn't you lie? And when I was watching this live, I was thinking to myself, they're not going to let him get away with this. They're not going to let him do the same thing that Kamala Harris did. And she just able to dodge through certain questions. And she just not answering at all. They can't. No. Somebody need to press him. And thank God they did.
about COVID, and I guarantee you he wouldn't start a trade war that he ends up losing. So this is about trying to understand the world. It's about trying to do the best you can for your community. And then it's putting yourself out there and letting your folks understand what it is. My commitment, whether it be through teaching, which I was
and he good tried at, to use the whole 2 minutes,
whether it was being a good soldier or was being a good member of Congress, those are the things that I think are the values that people care about.
Governor, just to follow up on that, the question was, can you explain the discrepancy?
All I said on this was, is I got there that summer and missed.
No. He went from articulating himself to all I said. When I see people starting to use a drawl, all I said was, when they start using improper diction to communicate in a national debate that millions of people was watching at that time, all I said was, this is when it fell apart for him. At this point, the debate was over because there was no catching up. You're not going to outshoot the Warriors.
Explain the discrepancy.
All I said on this was, is I got there that summer and misspoke on this. So I will just... That's what I've said. So I was in Hong Kong and China during the democracy protests, went in. And from that, I learned a lot of what needed to be in governance.
Hey, you know what the worst thing about getting caught is? It's that awkward silence. It's the awkward silence, 100%. The worst thing about getting caught up, honest to God, is that when the moderators don't follow up, because it's bad, but it's not as bad as when somebody is going back and forth with you, because they give you time to posture, give you time to think. Shout out to Leland Brown, shout out to all of the super chats. When people going back and forth with you, it's easier to figure it out. When they just let you die on that hill and it's like that awkward 2 to 3 second silence and you just doing like this. Your eyes getting big. All I said was, I just kind of misspoke. Dog, just take accountability. Doggy, just take accountability. Listen, I was off. I was wrong. I shouldn't have did it. That awkward silence.
Thank you, Governor.
No. Look, when you hit him with that, I don't know what I was doing. I misspoke. I don't know. My timeline was a little off. When you hit him with that look right there, that's the look of death. I know he was melting inside. That is the thing that gets your heart beat up. It gets your heart beat up when they follow up with a question because they didn't let you get away with what you thought you was going to get away with.
The question was, can you explain the discrepancy?
All I said on this was, is I got there that summer and misspoke on this. So I will just, that's what I've said.
What's what you said? What do you mean? And then they didn't let him get away with it. They just sat there and paused. And then he had to continue to do run-on sentences.
And misspoke on this. So I will just, that's what I've said. So I was in Hong Kong and China during the democracy protests, went in. And from that, I learned a lot of what needed to be in governance.
So you learn from China what it needed to be in governance. Oh, God. Oh, I don't know why that's so funny. Because I learned a lot from China on what needs to be in governance. Let me get back to the highlights.
When you screw up, when you misspeak, when you get something wrong and you change your mind, you ought to be honest with the American people about it.
You said you were in Hong Kong during the deadly Tiananmen Square protests in the spring of 1989. But Minnesota Public Radio and other media outlets are reporting that you actually didn't.
I didn't know that they was going to play this again. I'm sorry.
Traveled.
No difference it made in my life. I learned a lot of COVID.
Before we talk about deportations, we have to stop the bleeding. We have a historic immigration crisis because Kamala Harris started and said that she wanted to undo all of Donald Trump's border policies.
Kamala Harris was the attorney general of the largest state in a border state in California. She's the only person in this race who prosecuted transnational gangs for human trafficking and drug interventions. But look, we all want to solve this. Most of us want to solve this. That's why we had the fairest and the toughest bill on immigration that this nation's seen. But as soon as I was getting ready to pass and actually tackle this, Donald Trump said no, told them to vote against it because it gives him a campaign issue. It gives him to, what would Donald Trump talk about if we actually did some of these things?
The only thing that she did when she became the vice president, when she became the appointed border czar, was to undo 94 Donald Trump executive actions that opened the border. This problem is leading to massive problems in the United States of America.
We could come together and solve this if we didn't let Donald Trump continue to make it an issue. And the consequences in Springfield were the governor had to send state law enforcement to escort kindergartners to school.
Nope, that's not true. I wish they would fact check this guy, but I guess they agreed to no fact checking. But I'm assuming that the powers that be are going to do their job today and actually go through and fact check. The problem was that they shipped in 20,000 migrants. I ain't even going to address it because I didn't talk about it. J.D. Vance, he absolutely destroyed him in every way.
I believe Senator Vance wants to solve this, but by standing with Donald Trump and not working together to find a solution, it becomes a talking point. And when it becomes a talking point like this, we dehumanize and villainize other human beings.
Now, Governor Waltz brought up the community of Springfield, and he's very worried about the things that I've said in Springfield. Look, in Springfield, Ohio, and in communities all across this country, you've got schools that are overwhelmed. You've got hospitals that are overwhelmed. You have got housing that is totally unaffordable because we brought in millions of illegal immigrants to compete with Americans for scarce homes. The people that I'm most worried about in Springfield, Ohio, are the American citizens who have had their lives destroyed by Kamala Harris's open border. It is a disgrace, Tim. And I actually think, I agree with you. I think you want to solve this problem, but I don't think that Kamala Harris does.
I don't talk about my faith a lot.
He destroyed
But Matthew 25:40 talks about, to the least amongst us you do unto me. I think that's true of most Americans. They simply want order to it. This bill does it.
No. They don't want order to it. They don't want illegal migrants under the cloak and the guise of legality coming into this country and taking over American jobs and taking over resources from taxpayers. And it's being funded to the tune of billions and $42 billion as of right now. And that's not even accounting for the amount of resources that they take up that we can't quantify. No, they don't want order to it. They don't want it. They don't want order to your chaos. They don't want it. They never wanted 21 million plus people walking into this country unvetted and then them killing their daughters and their sons while they was walking down the street in Lake and Riley and all of these people. They don't want to have to learn new languages just because your kids is in there and they never asked you to be here in the first place. They want English to be the first language. English. They don't want a migrant shelters. They don't want it. That's the last thing that they want. Of all of the problems that we have in this country, the last thing that they want is for somebody else to come in and take monies and resources that you paid into a system for to be used for their gain and their benefit. Got nothing to do with order. They never wanted it in the first place. Never wanted it. I don't know why that's so hard for people to figure out. They don't want it and it's being forced upon them. You know what happens when a chick say, hey, I don't want you and you force yourself on her? You go to jail. In any other situation, hey man, I want that mango over there and I don't want to pay for it. Jail. I want that box over there, baby girl, but she said no, but I'm taking it anyway. They don't want it. This is the only situation in the world, the only circumstance where you can press upon somebody something that they don't want and you don't go to jail for it. No, she don't want order to the way that you taking something that she said no to. She said no. I don't know why that's so difficult for people to figure out. When no means no. I thought no meant no, no matter what it is that we talking about. No don't mean no no more. No don't mean no. No. Yes. They don't want order to your chaos.
Funded, it's supported by the people who do it, and it lets us keep our dignity about how we treat other people.
Just to clarify for our viewers, Springfield, Ohio does have a large number of Haitian migrants who have legal status, temporary protected status.
Well, Margaret, but
thank you, Senator. We have much to get to.
Margaret, I think it's important because
we're going to turn out of the economy.
The rules were that you guys weren't going to fact check, and since you're fact checking me, I think it's important to say what's actually going on.
He controlled everything.
So there's an application called the CBP One app, where you can go on as an illegal migrant, apply for asylum or apply for parole, and be granted legal status at the wave of a Kamala Harris open border wand. That is not a person coming in, applying for a green card and waiting for 10 years. That
Thank
is
you,
the
Senator.
Facilitation of illegal immigration, Margaret, by
Thank
our
you,
own
Senator,
leadership.
Thank you, Senator, for describing the legal process. We have so
Harris
much to get to, Senator.
Listen, man, listen. He controlled the night. He controlled the night. Facts. That is a fact. Without no debate, discussion. I don't know how people caught this down the middle. It ain't even close to being in the middle. It's not even close to being in the middle. Anybody that watched this with their own eyes, there's no way that you can sit there. No way that you can sit there and tell me that this was even remotely close to the middle. It's not. This was so one-sided. This was so one-sided. This was 95-5. 95. This was, hey, man, good try. He gave Tim Walz a pat on the back, like, good try, big dog. You showed up. At least you showed up. That's what it was. Wasn't no underdog story. Nobody had him winning. Nobody even anticipated him winning. They thought that he was going to be competent. He looked like a child, a flailing child, up there standing up next to that guy. That's just a fact. Nobody in the world can sit there and lie to me and tell me that Tim Walz effectively defended himself against an onslaught. That's like, he was fighting a Terminator up there. He was fighting a Terminator. This was nothing. You know what this was? This was an Obama book. This was Audacity of Hope. The audacity of you to have hope that you was going to come up here and do anything. The audacity of you. This was Iron Man fighting Thanos. We all hoped that Iron Man was going to be able to put up a fight. And we were glad when he was able to draw blood. But all it did was make Thanos a little bit more crazier. And he just laughed about it. And then he grabbed a planet and he threw it at him.